Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome to Zach to the Future. I'm your co-host, Dashiell Driscoll, joined today by Bayside's basketball star, Mark Paul Gosselaar. Hello, Mark Paul.
Yeah. Hi, Dashiell. Basketball is not my sport, but I brought on a guest this episode who is really good at basketball. We've never played together, but I do know that this guy plays with other celebrities, and they've told me that the boy has some hops. None other than my partner in crime, Breckenmeyer. Yes,
a
favorite of our audience of many.
Oh, thank you.
Welcome back, Brecken.
Thank you, my friend. We shot around. We've shot basketball.
We did? When?
In Hawaii.
Oh, gosh, you're right. At Stephen Bochco's house?
Yeah, we shot basketball. That was the only time we've ever seen Mark Paul hold a ball. Well, not a baseball.
Well, I mean, I've hold
a large.
Yes, that a ball that size. That was the only time you ever saw me hold a ball that size. That was actually a fun trip. We my ex boss Stephen Bochco, who was like a father figure to me, would let me use his place in Hawaii, and it was just a magical place.
We went there to. Kind of before we'd done the pilot of Franklin and Bash, but hadn't done the series. And it was kind of like, we should probably get to know each other a little better.
So we played with each other's balls. Basketball.
Sure. That too. Yeah. What better way to bond than Hawaiian basketball?
And Hawaiian balls.
Yeah. I like that wasn't even a blip on your radar, Mark Paul. Just what a charmed life that a round of Hawaiian basketball didn't stick around with your buddy, but that's okay.
It was like the best. It was like the most important event of my entire life, and I have 2 kids, and he doesn't remember it.
Well, I'm glad it made an impression on half of you. Now, if you're okay with it, let's just dive on into the summary so we can get into this. What the fans have all agreed is the most important episode of Saved by the Bell, Operation Zach. Is that okay with you, Mark Paul?
Yeah, really? This is the most important episode?
That can't be true.
No. It's pretty much the opposite. It's pretty much the opposite of what I just said.
I watched this episode. I have notes.
Good. I'm glad you were brought on specifically, Brecken. You're the fixer. But here's the summary in case you didn't get around to this critical viewing. Zach is struggling with his take-home test right before playing the big basketball game. Belding accidentally injures Zach, sending him to the hospital. Zach guilts Belding into studying to take his test for him and learns Lisa's mom, Dr. Turtle, will need to perform surgery on his busted leg. Zach has a scary dream. He dies under the knife and tries to escape the hospital but gets caught. Lisa, who's volunteering at the hospital, calms Zach down by reminding him of the time they got injured as children and went to the ER. Then Lisa stays by Zach's side for the successful surgery. The end. Operation Zach.
I really see no reason to review it. I mean, that basically summed
that
it
was
up.
It. That's the whole thing. I mean,
okay, and that's the show.
I forgot about Screech's. I didn't forget. I opted not to include the C story that Screech is going to sue the pants off Belding with his uncle. I have some notes on that particular sequence of letters and words. But let's just get into it. Why not? Brecken, what was the last one you were on for? I'm trying to remember. I feel like it was also a good one in that like it's like it was a fluffy one. I'm trying now to recall.
It was a fluffy one, but I cannot remember what it was.
That's okay.
It had that it had the very strong blonde girl.
Oh yeah, Rhonda. It was a Rhonda episode.
Right.
Yes, it was a Rhonda episode.
All right. That's enough for us. I can piece it together.
That.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about this one. I don't know why I brought that. I'm a bad co-host.
But what I was saying at the beginning was that we had when I was on social, we had an unbelievable response to you being on the show. The fans, our fans, which are many,
seven good people,
and including Roberta, that's Dashiell's mother.
Mom.
They loved you, Brecken.
I appreciate it. I love the show. So, you know, there you go. It's a win-win.
And like that, we are in the match.
Smoothest transition possible yet. Right? It's only 39.
I'm so curious to get into this episode. I really have to tell you.
And just like that, we are in the max. And we open up with a guy with a San Francisco Giants hat. I still cannot get over the fact that we have endorsements of Major League Baseball teams on this show. It makes zero sense. How did we get away with this?
Couldn't do it now. Yeah. I mean, no, it'd be so expensive. In a million years, you couldn't do it. That guy would have a, you know, greeked out or a, you know, electrical tape over that hat.
Yeah.
Which you see a lot on TV. It's so funny. They never mention it. Like, you see it a lot on TV. There's just a black bar covering a Nike logo or a black bar covering like a Reebok logo. And they just go back like, oh, it's fashion. That's part of the shirt.
Yeah, that's what I wear.
Take it away. Yeah, that's what I wear. I'm a big fan of that black tape.
There's actually one extra company. I think he's in this episode. He's in this episode when for Zach's like death dream. But there's one extra who routinely, I think it's a White Sox hat.
No,
he like regularly wears a black
Pirates hat. I have it down in my notes because I was going to get to it when we got
there.
You're
a professional, yeah.
But now now that you're bringing it up, it's a Pittsburgh Pirates hat, and I know that hat because at the time I was a Public Enemy fan, and I used to have that hat, and the P was for Public Enemy. You know, there's no way he was a Pirates fan. He obviously listened to Public Enemy, just like me.
Yeah, two cool guys on set. Tale as old as time. Zach has his books here. I actually had textbooks like this that were like wrapped in brown paper like that.
You had to do that, right? Yeah. I remember that was required.
Yeah. What were we protecting?
I think we were protecting so they could give the books to the next year student. You turn them in and you didn't destroy them.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, because the cover wasn't written on or whatever, but it was so weird because first of all, I've never learned how to do it properly. And you always go home and you're like, Mom, do we have any Ralph's bags? And then you're just trying to wrap a book in it. And you're like, I don't understand why I'm doing this. It makes no sense.
There was subtle class stuff at my school. Like some kids had the cool ones that had like holograms and shit. No, I was walking around with for sure the same thing. Ralph's bags on my math books. 100%.
Yeah. Well, you were either a blue binder trapper keeper or you were a cool, actual, legit trapper keeper flip pencil pouch and all that cool stuff.
James Bond.
I was the blue generic folder.
Yeah, those were more fun. Builds more character, I would say.
Yeah, that's right.
And here the gang shows up. Zach is the basketball team captain, which for according to Brecken, maybe not the truest thing.
That's a pipe dream. But the crazy thing about this, watching this episode, the one thing I love, this is an episode that is just filled with like crazy exposition said by the person who doesn't need to ask the question because they're looking at you. Like him walking in going, Preppy, you're here. I know, I'm here.
And then you're here too now.
Or there's a point later where Lisa comes in and Zach's in the wheelchair and she's got two lines before she mentions, oh my God, you're in a wheelchair. But she's been talking to him for two lines until then. And it just seems like there's a vision issue maybe going on at Bayside. Like people are kind of blurry until they get really close and then they recognize it, which is how I excuse them making those comments.
We get Slater here in a 23 jersey for Michael Jordan. As Mark Paul, you were in a 23 a couple episodes.
You were 25. No, Mark Paul was 25 in this episode.
In this one, but there was another 23 I'm remembering a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
I think Slater paid him to get his number back.
Okay, got it. Yeah, there's probably some weird bet on. There's a hidden episode. We get Screech in this wig that looks to be perhaps recycled from the time he played Zach before with a Penny Belding. Not sure. Looks similar, certainly.
And he has the number 00,
right?
Which is that even a number? Like, could you do 00? Is that
you? Yeah, Gilbert Arenas is Agent Zero. He was when he played for the Wizards. He was zero, but not 00. I don't think.
Huh.
Wasn't he? Was he Agent Zero? I think he was Agent Zero.
That sounds right.
Not 00. But,
I mean, I'm not going to fact check. You're the guest, Brecken. You can be right about anything.
but that's his nickname, Agent Zero. So I know it was a zero. I think it was just one. But this was a weird moment for me because, again, the internal logic behind it is Screech is going to sub in for you to take your place because why? You can't do it, right?
I don't think he's going to sub. Well, the I was confused here too. He's not going to sub for me in the game. He's going to sub for me in the rally. This is the rally, right? Because I have to do my.
Okay, so he's going to go for the rally.
Yeah, I have to do my algebra take home test, which still, even that doesn't make any sense. Like, it couldn't be any easier for Zach to pass a test.
Sure.
Or just do it. And I can't do it, which is the reason I can't go to this rally, which is why Screech is dressed as me to go to the rally.
Right. So Screech is Samuel decides he's going to show up.
Classy.
Because he's going to help you out and, you know, step in for you. He doesn't take your jersey number.
Right.
He doesn't take your jersey.
Right.
He puts on a blonde wig. He's clearly Screech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's very popular also in the school, but he is under the impression that the people at the rally will believe that's you.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Yeah. I don't know why you're questioning this. It makes sense to me and Dashiell. I mean,
you know what? Saying it, you're right. When I said it out loud, it makes perfect sense. And I don't know what I'm thinking. That picture of you right there is amazing holding that basketball.
It's also just like, hey, Screech, you want to just take this take home test for me? Which there is no, there's no police in the room for us with this. Like, you can just do it. No one's going to care.
Yep. Nope. And Lisa is working at a hospital. Screech has never heard of a candy striper.
Yes.
He genuinely thinks they paint candy.
Yeah, that's correct.
And this is the Lisa we're finding out now. Is this the first time we know that Lisa's mom is a doctor?
No.
No, it gets brought up. No. And last week we were at the Malibu Sands. We're alternating the beach episodes with non-beach episodes. Talk about making sense. Yeah, those are good ones.
Yeah.
But Lisa's, so we'll get to it. Lisa's mom gets mentioned last week as it aired, and she fixes someone's broken foot. So as it aired, these are two consecutive. This is pretty much the Dr. Turtle fixes feet season, say by the bell.
Okay. Yeah.
And also Lisa.
I was going to say about Lisa, you know, this is an actual uniform used by candy stripers. So candy stripers, I did a little research on this. Mm. They were first used in 1944. And they've been phased out in the 90s. So shortly after this particular outfit was phased out. And what they're called now are junior volunteers, and what they wear are teal polo shirts and khakis. They do not wear this uniform anymore.
Hmm.
Interesting. Back in the day, was it only females?
Females, correct. And then slowly, you know, there were male volunteers. But that particular uniform was they started using it in 1944, according to my research on the internet, which, you know, everything on there is true.
Everything
factual.
On the internet is true. I also think I think that every costume in that frame is from 1944.
Well, pay attention to Kelly's cheerleading outfit, because a little later you're going to get to see the somber Bayside cheerleader outfit. I know we're doing a lot of it's coming up, but like, why
does she's in the upside down at that point?
Yeah, why does Bayside have a cheerleading outfit for morning times? I don't know. Morning with a U. And Jesse taking some liberties here with a Bayside Tiger t-shirt.
I think she looks pretty hot with that shirt like that.
Looking good.
That was a thing. And that's my thing right there. Okay, I appreciate that. Yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, Brecken would show up like that to Franklin and Bash every once in a while.
I wear that, but I don't fill it out as well. I mean, close, but no, I give it to Berkeley.
Yeah. In Brecken versus Berkeley, we're taking Berkeley in this fight.
Brecken versus Berkeley. Oh, this was this part here. Explain this for me.
Well, okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So we're in the locker room for a little pep talk from the coach who we've never seen before or since. Who
he is a little pep talk?
I did say little. Whoops, whoops, folks. That's a little Freudian slip. This guy. I mean, I couldn't find him on IMDb.
We've never seen this guy before.
No,
right?
And you never will.
And you
again.
Never
I mean,
will.
You'll see him in the Death Dream, which is like its own little fun thing. But no, you've never seen him before or since. I could not find him on IMDb. I guess he did not want to be associated with this particular project. But yeah, that's what we get. We get the joke that that a short man coaches the basketball team. A sport played by tall people.
I mean, look at how you guys are bending down to get to his level. Which, by the way, I've felt in my life. I get that. I understand that feeling. Yeah. But yeah, so he's the coach. He's the basketball coach.
Belting looks like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar behind him. It's like it looks like some Lord of the Rings trickery. It's such a
weird moment that this guy is the coach. And then Belding goes and does his version of the big pep talk, kind of the Rudy Hoosiers moment.
Yeah.
He gives him the big speech. And then there's the big giant injury that happens with Mr. Morris, which seems to be he bumped into Belding's ass.
Right.
Destroyed his own leg. That's it. There it is. Right there.
Yeah.
What did he do that screwed his knee up?
It is certainly confused. So, Mark Paul, you're critical of some of your own stunt work. Yeah. But, like, they did not have any pads for you or anything. They didn't do a double or, like, cut away. You just had to take a fall from Dennis. How did that look to you playing it back? I'm sure no memories got jogged, but how'd that look to you?
I thought I did a good fall there. I think I took it well. I'm with Brecken where how do you twist a knee with that kind of bump? Doesn't quite make sense. And what the hell, what the fuck is Belding doing? Get out of the door. Like, what are you doing? You're walking out the door. Keep walking.
I honestly thought that because I didn't remember seeing this episode. I don't remember seeing this one as a kid. And when he fell down, my first thought was, oh, is this an appendix bursting episode? because there was no accident, there was no injury, there was no moment. Suddenly Zach just lays down and says, I can't.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and I thought oh, okay, it's his appendix.
Let's play it from here and notice how my teammates, some of them stick around and the rest of my teammates like leave and get the hell out of there. And it's again,
they're trying to give you some time.
Well, they're trying to clear space, right? Because if you're not on television, you would crowd around the injured person and help them up. But here, because we need to see the action, these guys have to get out of the frame. And it's just a funny way. Like they go, oh man, you're down. And then, oh, we got to get out of here. See ya.
Yep. Don't look at Zach. Don't you dare look at Zach. Just get out of here.
Is it even the correct leg? Now that I'm looking at it, hold on. Which one is propped up?
Leg.
It is. Well, okay, they did. They got that right. Okay.
You sure?
Yeah.
Because it was my left leg.
Yeah. You're holding your left leg.
Okay.
And then the rest falls
on his...
No sense.
Yeah, okay, yeah. All right. Okay.
Fine. And then I can't, which I love. Not I'm hurt or I can't. Like, I just give up. I'm out.
Well, and then Brecken, you would love this because it's a trope, but calling for the nurse, like call the nurse, get the nurse. What is the nurse going to do?
Oh yeah.
Take me to the nurse. How about that?
Sure.
You know, like when you go like, we need to call a doctor. What is the doctor going to say? We said this in the last episode.
Yeah.
You call a doctor. The doctor's going to say, get in your car and drive to me or take an ambulance, call 911, do something. Like,
yeah, as we'll get further in the episode, you'll notice I'm gonna guess there was not a technical advisor in the medical profession.
Ever on Saved by the Bell, you mean?
Ever on set, because there are a lot of fun. We'll get to it. There's a lot of fun hospital antics where it's reminiscent of ER, obviously, with its reality, but it's close. I would say close to ER.
Yeah, I'd say the nurses' union wasn't consulted for this particular 22 minutes of TV.
Watch out, guys.
Screech.
Coming through and Belding. Yeah, Screech is making Belding feel like it's totally your fault that Zach bumped into your ass with his left knee.
Right.
and somehow you're at fault.
Yeah, we're in the hospital here. I want to ask both you guys if you have any guesses what hospital TV show they just fucking took over the set for. Because this is a built set. I mean, this was not built for one episode.
It actually was. I talked to Franco because
you did? Oh my god.
I talked to Franco. We'll never have him on the show, so I figured I'd just call him and text him.
No, why would he? Yeah.
Yeah. And Franco, in case anyone hasn't been listening for the past 39 shows, it was the original executive producer, UPM, was he, or line producer? I always get those two confused. But he's
credited as producer on the original series.
Yeah, but he was the guy that was in charge of, you know, making the ship, float. But when I asked him, you know, what set did we take over? Did we take over another show? You know, we filmed across from a soap opera called Santa Barbara. We filmed across from Fresh Prince of Bel Air. And he said, no, this was a swing set. This was actually built for this particular show, and these rooms were a swing set. So we spent money on this. We actually spent money on this episode.
I'm shocked because I'm laughing because it looks similar to the beach house where Jesse and Lisa.
I asked him about the beach house too. No, yeah. I asked him about the beach house because the beach house does feel like it belongs on a soap.
Another set, yeah.
Right? And he said, no, that was a swing set as well. That we actually built that for the episodes, yeah.
What a time to be making TV. That's a lot of money to burn for one or two episodes. That's crazy. In this case, one episode in the hospital. Oh, you know what? You will be back in this hospital for Christmas. That's probably what it was.
If you say so, then it must be true.
I will say so. What a fun Christmas it'll be.
So we see Lisa's, this is where we see her job, and she's never, right, where are you guys, why are you guys here?
Yeah.
What happened to Zach?
Right. Asking the tough questions.
Asking the really tough questions. And again, it's tough because just in my opinion, I don't think Belding had anything to do with Zach's injury. Obviously, Zach has brittle bones.
Right. I mean,
and
he's
part, you know, he's like a bird. He's like a parakeet. He's got hollow bones. Well, and that's not Belding's fault.
Well, no. Again, why did you pause in the doorway? If you're going through a doorway, go through the doorway. You can't just stop mid-stride.
I totally agree. But he did also have four extras who weren't sure exactly whether they were allowed to be moving. Or are they supposed to stop? But again, you bumped into him.
Well,
it was just an accident. See, we bumped into each other.
Until Screech decides to take up
to litigate here. And his I have it here in my notes. Uncle Shyster, the lawyer.
Is that what he called him?
Yeah,
that's his name.
Here, look.
Apparently.
Let's play it. You can read the subtitles right here.
Yeah, Brecken, that's the right face to be making.
Uncle Shyster?
That is Screech's name. Don't say anything, yeah.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
I was just going to say, and I want to apologize to the viewers for what I'm about to say. Because I'm the listeners, sorry. And I'm a big Saved by the Bell fan. Mark Paul knows this. I know almost every single episode. I know them well. This might be the worst episode of Saved by the Bell story-wise. Like the act, you know, everything works in it. It's just the story is, it seems like they ran out of time in the writer's room. And they were like, we know we're going to have an injured Zach, but what's he afraid of? And it was like, how about if he's just worried about surgery? What's he worried about? He's going to die. Right, but it's only knee surgery. Yeah, but there's a deadline. So let's just say he's afraid he's going to die from the knee surgery. How afraid is he? So afraid that he has a fucking fever dream, mm-hmm. but like essentially like a Christmas Carol.
Sure.
Yeah. He has a fever dream with Screech. We'll get to that part anyway, but I have to say, this is a surprisingly, it almost felt like a bottle episode, but it wasn't.
I was going to say, it feels like a bottle episode, but it clearly isn't with the money that we spent on this set. I mean, normally in a bottle episode, in case you want to,
for those at home,
in case
for the civilians,
those at home, the civilians want to know about this stuff. A bottle episode is what, Brecken?
A bottle episode is an episode you do basically to save money from the network and for everybody and your sets. And basically you do an episode in one existing, your existing sets. So you just do it usually in one room. It's the trapped in the refrigerator episode of every show. It's the trapped in the blah, blah, blah. It's the power went out and we're all just hanging out in the living room all episode. Lights come on. Those two are kissing. Oh my God. It's that type of thing. Those are the bottle episodes. The one they try to just keep it as cheap as possible. This is clearly not that because they built this set and everything.
It's the opposite of a bottle. They built a brand new bottle and then they moved everything to this bottle and then tossed it in the trash.
It's very strange because it is such a weird episode.
It's weird in so many ways, but using the term shyster on a Saturday morning show, I mean, just in case someone doesn't know what a shyster is, I mean, it's a dishonorable, immoral person, usually in business. It was used as a term towards lawyers specifically, and then it sort of went to just like an overall blanket of anybody who is shady. I looked at synonyms for shyster and ambulance chaser. I found a really good one, a pettifogger. Like, wouldn't that have been a funnier term? Yeah, wouldn't it have been a funnier term if Screech said to us, "Wait, my uncle, the pettifogger." We're going to go to him like that. That would have been like what's a pettifogger kind of thing. I think this is a better word than shyster. Holy.
Yeah. There's a lot of things they could have done without this version. And I have here in my notes a little later when Screech starts talking about his uncle's name, who's Uncle Maury. But this felt all kind of like some Jewish caricature stuff going. That was just like, this is, I mean, look guys, it is just for children on Saturday.
It's
language is all there. I actually went to a website, which I've never been to, called JewOrNotJew.com as a person growing up Jewish. I never had to go to this website. I always knew I was Jewish. I didn't need it. But according to the real site, I didn't make it up, JewOrNotJew.com, Screech, the character, is not Jewish.
So Samuel Dustin Powers. Being Jewish.
Samuel Powers.
Is not Jewish.
Yes.
Bullshit.
He has a who is this? His uncle Shyster the lawyer and Uncle Maury. Come on. And Dustin was Jewish.
Dustin Jewish?
Yeah. But for some reason Samuel's not, and there is some like lines that confirm it. He talks about going to church in an episode, throwaway line. But this is like just again, weird, very weird joke territory that would not happen now for a good reason. Let's be happy about that.
And they've also really kicked up Screech's wardrobe in this episode. There's a lot of like Gordon Gartrell type Cosby-esque patchwork on his shirt.
And having
when you go to a hospital,
cut. Gordon Gartrell is a very deep cut for anybody. Who's a fan of the Cosby Show.
And
it was a shirt that Theo really wanted to buy, and he couldn't buy it. So Denise ended up making him.
Oh, I remember Gordon that episode. Gartrell. That's a good one. And I know that one.
Gordon
That's
Gartrell.
Mark Paul, just speaking of why this happened, I know Brecken, you kind of mentioned like, why is Zach in a wheelchair? Mark Paul had his injury on Circus of the Stars. I don't know if you're familiar with that, Brecken. It was a circus show that Mark Paul did, and he really did injure himself trying to play circus with the big kids.
Is that why you're in the wheelchair?
I wonder if the writers did this. I wonder if the writers added this.
That's not why you're in the wheelchair.
No, I know that's not why. I know that's not why you're in the wheelchair. But I wonder if the writers saw that happening and they were like, "Guys, you know what we're gonna do this year, Mr. Circus? We're gonna say he messed up his foot, messed up his knee."
No, that actually happened before. It happened before this. Okay. It happened well before this. I think I'm closer to being 17 here, and I think the Circus of the Stars happened right as I turned 16, or maybe younger than that. But No, we definitely had to take a hiatus of a month for me to get back on my feet after Circus of the Stars. But no,
could you please go into that injury and any co-stars that were there with you in that famous thing, the Circus of the Stars?
Co-stars Wendy Hagen. I don't know if you know Wendy Hagen. She was on Lassie at the time. And my other co-star, I'm blanking on her name. Jocelyn.
What was the event?
Jocelyn something. It was called The Russian Swing. It's like a platform, like a ginormous platform swing looking thing. Yeah. And you swing, but you have like four people on it and you shoot one of the people off of it, right? So you get this momentum going and then you shoot that person up into the air. They do their trick and then they kind of land in a net. And what happened was I was doing a triple back somersault. And because you know I was an athletic kid at that time. And I was launched up and I had lost the trick like a week before. And I had asked the, this is total lawsuit. Speaking of lawsuits, I needed Maury, the shyster from
the most dangerous thing in the world.
The fact that I don't own Universal, because we did this at Universal. The fact that I don't own Universal Studios is a travesty.
You didn't have Uncle Shyster.
I didn't have the pettifogger. I prefer to call Maury the pettifogger.
You needed Jeff the pettifogger.
I lost the trick, and then we were doing a producer's run through like the week before the big show. And I remember the guy saying, "You got this. It's all in your head." And I'm like, "No, just put me in the harness." And it was like this harness with ropes, you know, so you could practice these tricks. He's like, "We don't want to use the harness. We're in front of the producers. You got this. It's in your head." I'm like, "You're right." He was not right. He was not right. What happened was is that I was launched up and I went, instead of a trajectory, like at a 45 degree angle, I kind of went sort of at a 60 degree angle, maybe more extreme, and went up and came straight down in the net. And the net is held from the top of the big top all the way down by two other circus handlers. And I landed close by where they were. And they basically had to like let go because of the force of me landing close by them, kind of pulled the net out of their hands. I was still in a tuck. My back of my head hit the ground. I never heard the call out. There was supposed to be like a call out, like now, and you open yourself up because they're looking at your rotations and then calling you out. It's like, you know, like a gymnast in a way. And I landed on the back of my head. My chin hit my sternum. My chin is what snapped my sternum. I fractured my sternum, tore all kinds of ligaments in my neck. Yeah. I still got up because you know me, Brecken. I was like, I'm good. I couldn't breathe. I remember like the wind was completely knocked out of me. I got up because all the producers were there. I bowed and I could feel like this clicking in my chest, like this clack, 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 clack. And I'm like, oh my God. And I couldn't breathe.
Holy God.
I walked back to the trailer and I said, I need an ambulance. And they're like, no, we can't make a scene. Again, I'm telling you, I should have owned Universal.
Take him outside and shoot him.
I should own Universal at this moment. If not the network who put on Circus of the Stars, I think it was ABC maybe.
Sure.
Maybe it was NBC. Anyway, I should own everything.
One of those.
Is there any footage of this?
There's footage. Yeah. It's on, there's no footage of the injury, but there's like plenty of rehearsal stuff and like knowing how it ended too. I mean, I want the injury.
Yeah, no. Then went to the hospital and they're like, yeah, you fucked yourself good here. And then I was told I would never be able to do push-ups again. And, you know, that I would never, I would need to go and have surgery. And I opted not to have surgery. I opted to do this sort of, a little bit of a controversial recovery, but it wasn't going under the knife. And,
but you didn't perform did you perform?
No, I couldn't. I missed the performance.
No, you couldn't.
His circus career was cut short. I was there for the performance and for the taping. So I'm sure that, but you could see like I'm very stiff. I should have been wearing a neck brace. Again, I should own this shit. And they told me, no, you can't wear the neck brace. We can't bring attention to this.
Yeah.
And, you can't have people knowing the circus is dangerous.
Yeah. And I missed
it's
it.
Very hard to it's also hard to tell when Mark Paul's stiff. So, I mean, he's always,
I'm always just, pretty you know, stiff.
Kind of stick up his ass. He's always pretty stiff.
In my lifetime, I've only had four surgeries. Hmm. Once when I was very young, I had double hernia surgery. And then I've had three others, two shoulder surgeries and a neck surgery. So I understand what Zach, implant. we're getting ahead of what Zach is going through because this is just bonkers that he comes out. So he gets an x-ray, right? And, Lisa Turtle's mother. What's her name?
I just have here in my notes, Dr. Turtle. I'm sure she has a full name.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Lisa calls her mom. Everyone else calls her Dr. Turtle. I don't know. What do you think her name is? Susan? I don't know.
I don't know. Well, Susan is her real name, right? She's played by Susan.
That's why I said it. It's in my notes. I just glanced at my notes. Yeah, that sounds about right. Why don't we just use the old Google here in real time?
Sure.
Why not? It's a quality podcast here with lots of information.
Well, give this beautiful woman her due. Give it, what are the credits that she's been in?
Oh, sure, I would love to. I mean, I'm doing three things at once right now. But yes, Dr. Turtle was played by one Susan Bobian. Hope I'm saying that right. She'll be back in 1992 for the drinking and driving episode. That's an all-timer. She was in all kinds of stuff. Naked Gun, ER, Father of the Bride 2, Family Matters, Norbit, American Crime Story.
Yeah, she's worked a lot.
She's working. And I thought this was interesting. She's played a doctor or a nurse in 11 roles across film and TV. So she can do this very well. And she does.
And she crushes it.
Okay,
she crushes
let me ask you guys a question. Where are my parents? I've been at this hospital now
they called
for a
your
few
mom,
hours.
Right? Didn't someone say they called your mom?
Well, Belding says he called someone. I mean, but where?
No, but you say here, you ask, you go, hey, can someone call my parents? And Belding goes, I already called your mom. And then that's it.
But that's it. Like, we never see my parents, like, throughout this whole entire episode. So she says that I tore some ligaments in my knee. It's a very serious. They want to run some more tests, right? Mm-hmm. And so they want to run some more tests, and they're going to keep me overnight.
They're going to keep you overnight because of your knee.
This is
because
not.
You never know when your knee is going to explode.
No, this is not how it's done. I mean, this would scare the shit out of the little kids that were watching Saved by the Bell. This is a disservice to all the viewers. I mean, if this is what you thought was going to happen, if you sprained your knee, this is scary, by the way. This is not what happens. If you sprain your knee, for all the people out there, you go home.
Probably people who are worried.
You go home. You go ice it, and then you come back and you take you get tests done. What tests is she gonna do overnight?
Also, all of this, you're a minor, and all of this is being done without your parents' approval or presence.
Yeah, how much
and
do you know about? Yeah.
I assume what happened is your mom was on a bender or whatever. It was like, what's going on? It's like, hey, Zach tweaked his knee. Which one's Zach? It's like, your son. Okay, well, you tell me why I said I love him. Bye-bye. And then she hung up and off she went.
By the way, I'm an only child. Like, my parents have nothing else better to do. Like, be there.
She's crawling into a bottle, man.
Yeah, they were like, he's finally
this,
gone.
This douchebag. They created this guy. No wonder he's a piece of shit. He's trash. Yeah. No wonder, Dashiell, because my parents, this is what happens when you don't take care of
your
kids.
Parents, right. Right. Well, it's much easier to blame other people for our shortcomings. So yeah, I would agree. I do the same thing. We also get in this episode that Zach just loves sexually harassing the shit out of nurses.
Oh my God.
What he wakes up for, and what all he wants to do with his time on this planet is harass
Zach's
these young nurses.
It's Zach's Me Too moment. It really is.
It's bad. In a weird way, it'll come back around on him. There'll be some nurse justice coming back. It's like, that's not a good lesson either. Because he's a minor. And you mentioned being a minor, Brecken. It's like, when I was 16, I didn't know anything about my health insurance. I didn't know anything. Like, I didn't know the kind of stuff that a hospital would ask you as they are doing tests.
If you were a 16-year-old and you had torn ligaments in your knee, and the only people there is your insane best friend and your very strange guilty principal.
Yeah.
And the doctor's like, this is all normal. Sure. I'm ready for surgery, Zach. And you're going to be kept overnight without your parents present. Or your principal, by the way. He goes home.
He's got to study.
It's bananas. It's like the common sense police were like, we just got to okay this script.
And just to give the show a little credit here, we are skipping ahead. Sure. She doesn't say I need surgery in this particular scene. It will come up. But the other question I have...
That's the blow to the act,
Yeah, but the other questions I have relating to where are the parents, isn't... So Lisa Turtle is a candy striper. Shouldn't she be in school? Like, she was volunteering, like, throughout this whole episode as we're watching.
But is this after school?
I think it's after school. After school.
The rally was after school. Okay, I'll buy that. But as we're watching this episode, is she there always after school?
There's a scene that comes up where she's been napping for a very long time at the hospital.
Seems so she's like a full-time job. Yeah. Well, I didn't connect those dots. That makes no sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe she just told her mom, like, hey, mom, we're rich. I don't really need school, do I? And mom was like, all right, secret's out. You don't.
Fuck it. We're done.
I have here in my notes that, like, this extortion of Belding that Zach and Screech are doing, where it's like, we'll sue you if you don't take my take-home test. Zach would print out a much larger get-out-of-jail-free card if the principal sent him to the hospital. It would be like, dude, I'm never doing homework again for the rest of my life. You're writing me a letter to any college I want to go to. Like, Belding gets off easy. This is my hot take.
Yeah. And it's such a strange thing how quickly Belding turns into their minion who will do whatever they ask. But I mean, it'd be great if there was an episode where they said, hey, you better take your test for Zach. He's like, I'm not taking this fucking
test.
Fuck, he should learn how to walk and not bump into people.
Did he hit his head?
I can't help it if he's made of fucking Doozer sticks. The kid's made of plastic. He fell down. Doozer sticks are from Fraggle Rock for those who are looking for deep cuts.
I appreciate it, Brecken. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I got to ask you about that. The broccoli slurpee thing.
Yeah.
That line. Like, I know it's a joke.
Sure.
I mean, let me rephrase that. I know the attempt is it to be a joke, but it doesn't have any, it doesn't connect to anything. Like, I didn't understand where it came from. This, and I was like, does Screech have a long standing love of broccoli?
We'll set this up, Dashiell. We're back in the we're now in a hospital room. Zach's hospital room. Zach is now in a green plaid pajama set. He like
brought his PJs. Yeah,
your mom stopped by,
tossed him out the window, and kept
threw him out the window. Tell my baby to wear these. She kept going.
The whole gang is there in the hospital room. Asking if there's anything they can do. And then Screech says...
Your pajamas are under your brace.
Yeah.
Screech offers
a broccoli slurpee.
A broccoli slurpee. Yeah, it comes out of like...
character stuff. He's like a nerd, so he likes bugs and gross things. Like, it's like the closest
so
I could get
insane.
To like... I mean, that's one way to put it. Yeah, but it's like nerds like things that are nasty and good for you. I don't fucking know. That's like the
nerds love broccoli and they love smoothies.
Yeah, and what about those new Slurpee things at the mall?
Yeah, exactly. They're hip.
Like, yeah, I get it. Look.
Hey, would you like a hot dog on a stick?
we get this news here that that Zach is going to need surgery. Oh, and also that Slater lost the game for them because of Belding. Belding was really fucking up this team. I mean, you think Belding has money on the other guys?
Here's another thing. Slater, who we know is a good wrestler, he's a letterman in his wrestling. You know, he lettered in wrestling.
All City.
He came to Bayside as a wrestler. All State. This guy crushes it. And just a weird phrase, not even like damaging, but just a weird turn of a phrase that his principal had, causes him to not even miss the shot. But I don't think he even shot it.
No, he froze. Deer in headlights. Shoot your hopes and dreams, by the way. That was the
and
phrase.
Didn't shoot the basket. Yeah. And he blames it all on Belding. I think that's unfair. I think that is not an okay thing to say to Belding. I don't think Belding is to be blamed.
Yeah, I mean, similarly, it's like, if you're in the middle of walking through a door, that's on you. If you're in the middle of shooting a shot, that's on you. If I'm in the middle of an intersection, whatever happens, happens. Yeah. That's like on me.
Right.
I say that as I predict my own death in an intersection.
Oh, what was the... Yeah, she was moaning in her sleep. Lisa was moaning in her sleep.
Full makeup in your hands.
You had to write the line, my hair's a mess, because it's not.
At all.
So you had
not
to write it.
Right.
Yeah. I like in shows when they always say, like, God, you look so tired because you just got out of makeup.
Right. I wonder why the candy stripe uniform went away. I would just assume red and white stuff was blood. I feel like all that stuff was done to hide blood.
But these are nurses, right? These aren't candy stripers.
No,
these are
different.
Nurses who wear stethoscopes.
Ah, oh, thank you, Brecken. I didn't notice that. That's a really good point. How do you know they work at a hospital?
She wears a stethoscope. Yeah, she wears a stethoscope, not the way actual doctors do, but the way TV doctors do, which is around the,
a necklace,
Yeah. And so she comes in and then starts massaging Zach,
mm-hmm.
like a lot. And then I believe Slater then request to offend her as well and ask for a massage.
By the way, I didn't know this was this kind of place.
Let's remind the audience, these are minors.
Yes, everyone here is a child except the people who work at the hospital. That's correct. Everyone here is a child. Like these are, it's the median age is 16.
But so she's clearly got to be 18 because she's a nurse. She's not a candy striper.
That's right.
Oh, and this joke that the nurse says right here, I felt bad for this actress because, listen, nothing happens. That thing right there.
Yeah.
In case you choke on a bone. And it was crickets.
It was crickets. I actually thought I heard a moan from the audience.
Yes.
I thought I heard somebody just go like,
because it was the word, just because of the word bone, mm-hmm. I think they started going, oh. Yeah.
There was a few times this audience didn't know what to do with some of the lines.
Yes.
There was a few moments where they're like, do we laugh? Do we, I don't know what to do here. It was uncomfortable.
Yeah, there are a couple like, ah, ha, ha.
Yeah.
And like,
uncertain giggles.
Yeah.
They can't all be perfect. I'll say that as a person who's written jokes before, but like that is.
Totally agree.
Brecken, I know you're aware of this too, but it did feel, that one stood out to me as like, you would think it's something somewhere between the table read and the time they say action. Someone would have been like, can we maybe the choke on the bone?
Maybe
thing
we can
is
beat
bad.
That.
Maybe we can
or,
beat that. Or they, we'll or they were like,
punch
fuck
up,
it.
Let's punch up the laughs in post.
Oh, right. So to trick
so
people
can,
at home.
So she can get
it's
a little
kids.
Giggle.
It's
yeah,
kids.
So get,
these are it's yeah. little children. Easiest people in the world to trick. Don't misuse that information, folks, out there in Radio Land.
No.
And
you're
we
faster
get,
than a guy with two good legs.
So there's some ableist stuff too. Just know, not to be the everything police, but like a lot of not so great things.
I was going to say the one thing they don't have in this hospital, it seems, enough of, are charts. Because again, this doctor walks in giving you all the news with zero reference in her hands.
She's like one of those servers that works at a TGI Fridays by airport. It's I've got this shit all
servers.
Upstairs.
I've got it all here.
I don't even know what a pen looks like.
No, just amuse me. But just
write it down.
Just write something.
Just write it down.
Write whatever
you
want.
Can you just scribble a circle?
Just scribble something.
I don't trust you.
I don't
trust you at all.
I really don't. And when you do that, it's like you walk away and I go, do you think we're going to get the right
something's
order?
Something's going to be wrong.
Something's not going to be a diet.
It's not going to be a diet soda.
No.
Something's going to be
if
wrong.
If you have more than three people and they sit there and go, no, I got it. You're like,
I got
no,
it. Do you?
Something's going to be wrong.
But,
something's going to be wrong.
But the thing is, it is
also
impressive.
Why aren't you
right?
in Vegas counting cards if you can do this? Like, what the hell are you doing?
That's what
I'm saying. It's Orlando TGI Fridays.
It is an impressive talent to be able to listen, to comprehend what the person just said, and to go back. You know, because maybe they may be interrupted, right? They may on the way to the wherever they go, because I've never been a server, so my hat goes off to servers.
Sure.
But I'm sure wherever they go, what if they get interrupted? What if somebody walks up to them and has a question or excuse me, and pulls them aside? What? I mean,
also, guys, I just viewers at home or listeners at home.
Sure,
Mark Paul said he takes his hat off to servers, and he is wearing a hat right now, and he did not take it off, so he's lying. I want you guys to know this whole podcast.
God damn you,
Mark Paul's lying.
Damn you, Brecken.
He didn't take his hat off. He doesn't take his hat off to any of you servers. He doesn't give a shit.
He actually just put a second hat on.
Yep,
never seen that before.
Tip.
He's a man wearing two hats.
He doesn't tip at all. He's like Buscemi in Reservoir Dogs. He does not tip. He just doesn't care.
You know those stories about celebrity big tippers. It's equally impressive to get a famous person who doesn't tip at all. Yeah, that's a story too.
Have you guys noticed that, like, with all this, we have online payments and stuff when you go everywhere now. Mm-hmm. Everyone has like these squares and stuff where you can, I love it because it's so easy to pay for things. But now you're tipping for almost everything that you pay for.
Like you buy a hat at the kiosk.
Yes.
Like, the tip for it.
Yes. Yeah. Do you notice that? Like, what do you?
Also, the tougher part is when you're doing it when it's an intimate moment.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And you're like, you're seeing me.
Right.
Do this.
Exactly. And then there's like, there's a 10%, a 15%, an 18%, a 20%, and then, higher. Or there's a custom tip. I usually do the custom tip because if it's something like I'm picking up a sandwich, right? thank you for making my sandwich. I'm probably not going to give you 20%, but like a $12 sandwich, maybe I'll give you $4 tip, $12. Like a $4 tip maybe. Or, you know, like you give somebody a five, like two sandwiches, you give her a five. Does that make sense?
Right.
But
yeah, no, I get it.
They want you to give 20. Do they want you to give 20% on that? I don't know. I'm asking for a friend.
Yeah, percentage based tipping on things where it's like a cup of coffee or something. Like that stuff doesn't even like that seems like it. No, this is a few dollars or something. It's like a more of an area of tipping.
I'm all about and Brecken knows this. We've been to dinner many times. Those I remember, Brecken. But I think we're really good tippers. Not only because I appreciate the service, but also for the fear of not being a good tipper.
Someone's going to point it out. It's going to stick with them. They're going to be like, I'm never watching Batman on campus again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm always rounding up. Inherently it makes me a really good tipper. But man, when you're not giving me service, it's just like, that's kind of like your job and there's not a tip jar that I could put $2 in or three or whatever. I don't know. I don't know what
you're subsidizing a bad employer. That's what it is. It's like they have a bad employer who's not paying them enough. And the employer was like, we're going to start asking for tips at this hat stand because I don't pay a living wage. I'm going to put that on the customers. It's like capitalism is a broken system. As we transition to what's going to be an ad, I'm sure it's any minute now.
I don't know, guys. I was raised right, so I tip every time, and I always tip way over 20%, and no matter what it is, because they're doing a service, and I really appreciate it. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Go fuck yourself.
Breckenmeyer, a man of the people, a liar.
Fucking liar.
and we get a... Yeah, so Brecken, your observation that this could have, and maybe you should have been an appendix episode, is astute, because that is a real surgery, where they actually cut open your body. Like, that is a...
Right.
And that's also a thing. I was a child who at the age of, I think, 5 or 6 had to get appendicitis or had appendicitis, had my appendix removed. It was scary then, but like it would have been nice to have something on TV about surgery as a child to be like, okay, it's not so bad. This is not that because it's a knee thing. It's like, isn't that for adult men mostly?
It's also one of those things when, and this is a common thing in sitcoms and whatnot, where someone gets an idea. So they just introduce it. And a lot of times you don't have the person overseeing it all who goes, hang on a second, guys, we've established Zach's not afraid of blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I'm not saying this episode, but a lot of times you see that in shows where it's like, you know, I'm afraid of flying. It's like, really? Because 4 episodes back, you landed a plane when the pilot passed out, things like that. But here it was like, I absolutely agree with you. If it was an appendix thing, that's a scary surgery as opposed to just, your knee tendons are messed up.
But here's the thing also with surgeries, right? An appendix surgery is immediate. It is, you need it now. Like we have to operate on you.
That's a good point. Yeah.
With a knee surgery like this, you make an appointment. There's like the fact that I'm actually going into surgery tomorrow.
Same day.
Doesn't make any sense. I mean, I scheduled my shoulder surgeries. It was like weeks ahead. Like I knew it was going to be on a specific date. I mean, this is one of those things. Like my friend recently had Achilles surgery because he ruptured his Achilles. He walked around on it for months because of COVID.
Sure.
He couldn't get an appointment. That's just the way it is. Like an appendix would have been, that would have been a much better storyline if it just burst.
Yeah, it is also just worth noting here that Zach has the world's largest hospital room to himself. If you're lucky enough to have not spent much time any age in a hospital, usually there's other people in those rooms, or if it's just you, it's not like a triple or double. Zach was given the run of the joint, I guess. Why not? It's TV. The friends have to visit. I get it. It's make believe. And we get he's in his, who would have known the boy in the teal PJs wouldn't be ready for big stuff, but he's not.
Well, I just want to also point out for the audience, in this TTC, in case you don't know what that is, Brecken, that's a towards the camera, to the camera, towards the camera?
Talk to camera.
Talk to camera. There it is.
Okay. Talk to camera. Yeah.
Talk to camera.
Gotcha.
I notice on my left earlobe that there is a spot right there.
What are you talking about? How do you do that?
Well, because I think that's with anybody, right? You notice things that other people don't on yourself. Yeah. Like if you have a zit on your face.
So what is the spot?
Well, the spot is I pierced my own ear around this time.
What? Oh my god!
I remember.
Did they not? And they wouldn't let Zach wear an earring?
No. Are you kidding me? The fact that I had my hair cut like this too is pretty radical. You know, it's like my hair here was very Vanilla Ice.
You were definitely a little Robert Van Winkle.
Yep,
it's very blonde. It's like extremely blonde,
but shaved on the sides and then you know longer on the top. But yeah, my ear. My first piercing was done by myself. I took a piece of ice and a pin. And so, in case you're planning on doing this at home, you can do this.
You did.
But the problem was when I pierced my ear with a sewing needle. The sewing needle is drastically thinner than the stud I put in my ear.
Yeah. Than the gauge of the stud.
Right, exactly. So when I did it, I was like, okay, I actually pierced my ear and got through the two levels of derma. But then when I put the stud in, the stud was thicker and it wouldn't go out the back. And I remember the sound it made. It literally made like a popping noise, like if you popped a zit.
Yep.
And I almost fell to the ground when I heard that noise. Oh my God. But I actually got it through.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're supposed to leave it in and, you know, for a few weeks or whatever. But I can notice that it's pretty red, which means I probably had to take it out. I remember there was a thing always having to take out my piercing that I did.
My mom did it with a safety pin.
Well, those are a little thicker than a sewing needle. So that's
I'm saying. That was a good thing. It was a little thicker because you had to like re-pierce your
ear. Yeah, yeah. So your mom
did it.
That's why didn't she just take you to the mall if you're gonna like I couldn't have my parents do it because they were like, you cannot have an ear pierced. And I defied them and did it.
No, my mom had done it to her friends in her sorority and she was like, if you want me to do it, I can do it. And I was like, I'd rather do that than go to like the mall at the day. Back in the day, it'd be like, I didn't even know there was a Claire's or whatever back in the day. My mom was like, no, heat a safety pin, put a cork on the other side so I don't go through to your neck and good luck.
Did she ice it? Did she put cortisone on it?
Barely. I will say, I remember it hurting like a motherfucker and I still have it. It's still pierced. It's still a hole.
Oh, you still have
won't
a hole.
Close up, which is weird.
Mine closed up.
It won't close up.
I had two.
Mine will not.
My second one I got done at the mall, but my first one I did myself and they both closed up.
Yeah, so Zach's terrified of hacking. They're going to hack Zach.
Yeah, they're going to hack Zach. Great term.
It's his knee.
Yeah, they're going to chop his legs off. Belding looking like a man going through three divorces at the max here as we open up Act Two.
Going to the place where all the students go.
Yeah,
that's where he's going to congregate to drink coffee and take Mac and take Zach's test.
Yeah, Brecken, you're an adult human being. You have a house. You have a house with a table, I'm sure, and access to coffee.
Yep.
Were you given a similar task? Would you not just sit at home in darkness?
Especially if I'm the principal of the school and I'm doing a student's work who may or may not have been injured by my hand or ass.
Yeah.
I would definitely do it in my studio apartment that Belding clearly
is not in right now. He's not living in the house. No, it's the Oakwoods apartment. No.
Couple
right
things
by
here,
Universal
though.
Studios.
He's tired. He's wrung out, right? So we have to mess up his hair. Put five coffee cups on the table. It's like, Kelly,
do your job. Is Kelly the shittiest? Yeah, she's the shittiest.
Yeah,
you want to talk about tipping?
Talk about
she's
reservoir
the shittiest
dogs.
Waitress ever.
Yeah, come on. Fill this thing up. Also, just like leave the pot after a while. Like, you know what's going on here.
And also,
I bring you a fresh cup every time and I don't take the other one.
Right. That's bad. That makes no sense.
It's bananas.
And then he says that Zach, I don't know if you caught this, but Zach is in advanced algebra. How did he get into advanced algebra? He was finger counting at the top of the episode. You can't finger count in algebra. It makes no sense.
Blackmailed the teacher or something? I mean, it certainly wasn't. He didn't test into it.
Yeah, that's what I mean by that one person in the writer's room who goes, I got a question. I got to ask really quick, just a common sense question.
Hey, yeah. How did he even get in this class? But
my mom's got to operate. So your mom's a surgeon. Yeah, his mom's a surgeon who does legs.
She does it all. Yeah, that's kind of her below the belt is her specialty. And Screech is still threatening litigation. So this is the C story of the episode that Screech is like breaking Belding's balls here over like real legal threats. But we'll more on that.
And we're going to make you feel better. We know you're worried about your surgery. So we brought balloons and we bought you an electronic black book for all those nurses' numbers.
Yeah,
an organizer.
Well, that was interesting.
I had to see if there was like one of the day that was like the iPad or whatever. I couldn't find a read on like what like the Black Book organizer would be. But I remember those things. They were like, I remember them.
The electric little Casio things. I had those.
Yeah, like a Casio is probably it. Yeah,
I had those. Yeah.
So just to clarify, I'm not dating Kelly at this point, right? Because
as it is in the season,
I thought you and. No, I thought you and Lisa were about to get together at one point, because there's that weird intimate moment where she kisses you while you're... Well, first of all, you fall asleep like a narcoleptic.
Right.
And she it seemed like she was going to kiss you.
Well, I wouldn't have minded that, but in this particular episode, I'm not dating Kelly. We're not an item, because she seems like she's on board with me banging all the nurses.
Yeah, she's like, have at it, Haas. It's really funny. Once you guys break up, you guys seem to have a really friendly relationship with like, yeah, go on and bang whoever. It's like,
we've talked about this in the past. I'm not down with that. Like, if you break up with somebody, it's done.
Right.
Like, we're not friends.
Is there a deleted scene where she goes, yeah, bang all those nurses?
Go to town. Yeah. Have fun while you're here.
Call me if shit jumps off too much. I'll join. Like, that'd be a totally different episode.
Yeah, now's the time, right?
Oh, wait, now are Slater and Jesse together? Because she's acting like they are.
They are. As of now, it's very, Brecken, this might shock you to learn, they took some liberties here with how they shot, produced, and rolled out these episodes. But in the world of Saved by the Bell, as it aired at this time, yes, Jesse and Slater are an item.
I was really hoping that Slater was going to backhand Screech. The way he did it, he backhands his shoulder, but I really thought he was going to backhand his face.
Wouldn't be the first time, though.
No. Oh, and then this physical comedy.
I mean,
gag.
Yeah. I have it in my notes of just like,
yeah.
It's like if you're in a show like this, and one of your characters is in a hospital bed, there's a real good chance it's going to start flipping and flopping around and compress them. It's inertia. It's comedic inertia. It just has to happen.
They may have. I think they went to that well. Three or four times, not just the bed, but someone touching Zach's leg.
Oh yeah,
and slapping it. This part was ghoulish as hell. I didn't understand this. That Screech apparently has always had a dead frog's foot as a good luck charm.
Yeah, I mean, I did not dwell on it too much, but that is what they appear to be stating.
It's a really big foot for a frog.
Get it back from the morgue. Is where he's going to go. It's where they keep the bodies.
Yes. And so Zach immediately falls asleep.
Yeah, he drifts away to Dreamtown in a transition. Looks like Kid Pix 2, if anyone remembers that software. It's fuzzy and white around the border.
Dream, and in his dream, so this is all controlled by Zach's brain.
Yeah.
In his dream, Zach puts Screech in a fake halo. Like, he puts him in a clearly, like a pipe cleaner halo.
Yeah.
That is clearly a costume in the dream. So in Zach's dream, in Zach's fantasy, Screech is not an angel. He's just dressed as an angel. Or is an angel. I don't know.
Zach spent a lot of dream budget on some of his other dreams. So when it got time to this dream, his physical production team was like, we got to scale this dream back. And Screech appears to be wearing a T-shirt of himself as an angel.
Yeah, I did. I just noticed that now. But what is the design on his T-shirt?
It looks like a drawing of Screech. As we get, you'll get a better shot in the halls of Bayside, where there'll be. We're getting there real quick, but yeah, it is Screech. Like, it looks like it's a little drawing of him as on a white T-shirt.
Also, the hall again. I just keep going to the fact that Zach's fantasy, or Zach's in control of this dream, and his subconscious decided that at his funeral everyone would wear black but dress incredibly casually.
Yeah,
but in black.
I kind of like that, actually. I'll volunteer for that. Hey guys, if I die in an intersection, as I have predicted in this episode, come on down to the funeral, you know, in a tracksuit, but just all black, whatever you want.
Okay,
jeans, I don't care. Brecken, you're invited. You can meet Roberta.
I appreciate
great time to hang out. In memory of Zachary Morris, we're in the halls of Bayside. There's a tombstone above his locker. Jesus Christ. And a sad funeral
procession. Toilet stops. I'm not making any toilet stops in case you have to take a dream shit or go to the dream bathroom. Right. Is what Screech just said.
Yeah. A thing, again, we know who wrote this. They're adults. They're maybe parents or fathers, mothers perhaps, but this is just like a thing a dad says. I'm going to, you kids be, I'm not stopping to pee. But Screech is saying that to Zach and his,
Yeah. Oh, there's a Pittsburgh Pirates hat.
Yeah. So everyone's wearing their all black.
That? By the way, who's that guy? You guys have probably talked about him. The dude with the glasses, the nerdy guy with the blonde hair.
He's the best. He is one of the standout. He has a few names. It's like Hubert. Yeah, I think he's it's one of those weird things where the credits are like scattered among the episodes. But I believe he is Hubert is his official
He's my favorite.
Name. He's one of the better ones, yeah.
Yeah, he's been in a lot. I enjoy his work.
Yeah, he's amazing.
I enjoy Hubert's work.
And then we can't we can't deny
Oh, and the froggy
Ollie.
Guy.
Yeah, Ollie.
Yeah.
With the froggy
Ollie, the
voice.
Frog voice, man.
Scene stealer.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's not his real voice.
I hope. I mean, I hope not. That you see Screech's shirt there? Like, look at it. It looks like a Screech with angel wings. Hold on. Can you back it up there, Mark Paul? Yep. Like, yeah, right there. That looks like a drawing of Screech as a little cherub angel.
Who's this? I'm just so curious about the behind the scenes decision making of this outfit.
I'm infinitely curious as well.
Because it's not necessary, right? I mean, if he was just wearing white on white, it would.
I mean, what's necessary? I mean, is it necessary is TV necessary? You know,
what is question. That though? That like, if you're not making any reference to it, why have
is it? Malcolm Gladwell? Maybe it's Malcolm Gladwell. Maybe that's
30 years later, we're talking about Malcolm Gladwell on Screech's show.
Yeah, maybe Screech was just ahead of his time.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. It feels, in my own dumb brain, it feels like someone drew that and like Dustin was like, can I put this on a t-shirt? Like, it feels like someone just asked the question and someone who was in a position to say no was like, you know what, dude, I don't really care.
I don't even
go
care.
For it. I don't really care.
Because honestly, if I saw this now, if this was a show on right now, I would bet dollars to donuts that after the show, they're auctioning that off for charity or something. Screech is crazy.
For the knee society?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, for all the ligaments.
But is it
the ligament?
Is that a hula hoop around the neck or is that a basketball rim? Like, what is that around the neck of this? And it almost looks like,
still on the t-shirt. Yeah, it looks, I mean, look, I don't know or understand. I just saw it and was like, that is just deranged.
It's angel deranged. Wings. That's for sure.
The angel wings are there. It is clear as day the same hairstyle as Screech. Looks to be the same facial length. I don't know, folks. This is another one for Franco, I guess. I guess we got one more question for Franco, as he will never be a guest because, hey, he's busy and we're happy about that. But we so appreciate him answering our questions.
Why does that just say to drugs and alcohol in the bank?
It does, because they don't want to make up your mind for you. It just says to drugs and alcohol.
You decide how you feel.
Yeah, you figure it out.
Do we know her, by the way? Do we know this woman?
No, I don't. I don't think so. This is the other lady with Jesse on the steps is lamenting. She could have, if she only could have kissed Zach just one time.
Just once.
It won't happen now. He's dead. Which
no, and we've never seen her before.
No, I don't think so. And we're talking about lessons to teach kids and stuff. It's like, holy shit, you mean people are going to miss me when I'm dead? I'm going to die? I'm going to die and people are going to be around? It's like,
are those flowers they're dropping?
They look to be like black roses, yeah.
I could not tell for the life of me.
And again,
because then Slater brings in a basketball.
Oh, so speaking of necessary, was it necessary for Slater to be twirling the basketball like a Harlem Globetrotter?
No,
as he approaches this funeral.
And I can almost guarantee that was Mario being Mario, not him.
I have
being
that in
Slater.
My notes too.
Absolutely, like I'm going to come in twirling this basketball because it's something that I can do. It's something that actually you would do, Brecken. I think. Yeah, you have your hand up. Yep. Brecken's really good at doing that. And I know that if he was told to walk into a scene with a basketball, he would most definitely twirl it just like Mario did.
It's a black basketball too.
If it's a funeral scene.
It's a funeral scene.
Maybe I would. By the way, they don't have black socks though. They got leg warmers. They got white socks.
And we had the girls in their sad Bayside cheering outfits. It implies that they seem to know there's death at the high school sometimes, and you got to break those out.
I really enjoyed that cheer, by the way.
It was a good cheer, right?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, well-written. a sad, nice, dead cheer.
Death cheer.
Yeah. Fucking dark stuff. I mean, like, I know it's all for laughs and everything, but if, like, you got to just, so now I'm a child at home, I sprained my knee, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to die. They're going to have to bury me in my locker.
Oh, and also Screech says everyone in heaven looks like him. That's what the angel says.
Weird. Weird world they're
setting up. Which I thought was a weird world they just, that, well, weird afterworld they're describing.
Yeah, so you're telling me we're all actually Screech on the inside? Okay.
Right. Which I think we are.
I love this. I love where I freeze the frame right here because the coach, because everyone's wearing black, he just looks like a small little head in the sea of other people.
So weird.
He's so low.
What a choice. He does all, like, it is such a one note joke of just his appearance around people playing basketball. But then to happen that he has to come back for the funeral march. Very strange episode, folks. Pittsburgh Pirates are clear as day a part of it.
Or a public enemy.
Oh, yeah. I had here in my notes a Screech. Thank you. Yeah, I did. Before we move past it all the way from the funeral scene, Screech the casket climber. That's a real term. It happens at funerals sometimes. People get up and try to get in the casket to join the dead person. It's a real thing.
Is that a real thing? No way.
It's a real thing. Yeah, casket climbers are real. I saw it on a TV show called 6 Feet Under and thought it was kind of a goof. And then I saw it here and I was like, wait a minute. I Googled it. It's like an actual known thing. It doesn't happen every day. It doesn't happen every funeral, but it's like a known enough thing. It has an alliterated term.
That's weird.
Yeah. And Zach is going to make a break for it. Yeah, I agree, Brecken. It is weird to climb in a casket with a dead person. It's not a healthy way to mourn.
It's just so, this episode is so weird. Like, again, if you, all you had to do was make this about appendix and I'm with you on board. I'm 100% on board with you. But like, by the way, Dashiell, has Zach been previous to this episode? I assume he's been in hospitals or injured before.
No, not really. And you know what else he hasn't done?
He's charmed.
You know what else he hasn't done before this? Play basketball. You know what else he's never going to do again? Play basketball.
Well, no, he can't anymore. His knee, he's not half the man he used to be.
No, Dr. Turtle said, I'm going to fix you up. You're going to be better than you ever were. He's like the bionic man after this. Or RoboCop, whatever you want to pick. Your choice.
Sure.
We're in Act 3 for Zach's great escape. In this age of the pandemic, post-pandemic, where, you know, things are still demic-y around the globe, that's incorrect mask wearing from one Zach Morris. Those straps are not where they should be.
Are definitely not where they should be.
That's not regulation. That's where my brain is after, 15, 16 months of this fun stuff.
I also couldn't understand how, again, we shouldn't be talking logic, but this nurse ran up to him. So clearly she thinks he's someone else, a different doctor that she is familiar with because she's discussing a patient that she and this doctor have together. And doesn't bat an eye that this person sounds, first of all, insane. Yeah. And second of all, probably looks nothing like the other doctor.
Yeah, is a child in the eyes. Certainly a child behind the eyes. This man has never paid
a
bill.
16-year-old child. Yeah.
This guy doesn't have a mortgage. He's a kid.
He's a 16-year-old kid. Oh, it might as well be two kids in a trench coat.
Speaking of kid, I get assaulted by a grown woman.
Yeah, that's happening right now. So for all of Zach's shenanigans here of just wanting to literally sexually harass every single person who works at the hospital, who's not Lisa's mom, and maybe her too, I don't know. You get assaulted by an adult woman. Like this
who thinks he's another someone doctor else. That she's clearly had a ongoing affair with.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
So she's been intimate with this guy, and yet a 16-year-old boy does not throw her off. She still thinks it's the same grown up, I'm assuming.
Hopefully.
Grown adult doctor.
Hopefully it's not a Doogie.
Fucking.
Maybe it's a Doogie Howser. Maybe there's some teen phenom running around the hospital.
Yeah. Who looks exactly like Zach Morris from The Eye.
And she uses doctor, heal me with your kisses.
Look at those eyes right down the camera. That's good stuff.
Yeah. Ooh. Right down the pipe.
Yeah.
I love the subtitles.
Look at the kisses.
On Hulu.
Check out the subtitles, Bracken. Yeah.
Well, no, I'm at least on Hulu. Yeah. So this is on Hulu. I love the subtitles. So you see it here. It says, Doctor, heal me with your kisses. Mm-hmm. As I go into this room, these are the subtitles. If you can read them. Smack.
I watched it on Peacock because I try to do my due diligence. The subtitle on Peacock was Rapid Smooching. So you get to pick
More sense because there's more than just two smacks on his mask when he comes out now.
Oh yeah, his mask is smacked up.
So again, the logic police here. her ongoing affair with this doctor is limited to making out with the masks on.
Mm, sure.
Right?
I mean, it's a hospital. You got to stay safe, I guess.
And perfect.
Also, if you go back and look at that woman, she didn't have lipstick on like that. Just saying.
I'm having
a lot of logic
lipstick
issues with this episode. I wish
I could remember, but how did I get those perfect smack kisses on my mask? Like, did a wardrobe person paste those on really quickly, or did they change my mask?
Because I think they change your mask.
I would think
those strings
mask,
look different. Yeah, because that mask seems like it fits better.
That's a quick change, man. That's a really quick change. There was somebody right there as I walked in and did a pit stop on me.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't fuck around and say by the bill, man.
Another great stunt right there. Another great stunt, by the way.
I saw that.
Yep. That was good.
He did really well. That was Chaplin-esque.
Yep. The guy with the gurney comes in, takes me off my feet. That's some good stuff right there.
Boom.
Yep.
Yeah. Little Buster Keaton of the Palisades. Mm-hmm. and this is Zach doing some real scheming. Some, like, you're finally back in the driver's seat, as it were, doing some like actual stuff with confidence, the Zach Morris thing. But nope, Dr. Turtle has discovered you.
The only person who can recognize him.
Yeah, the only genius with her freaking eyes open at this whole place. How are people not dying every day at this hospital? We'll never know. Maybe the mortality rate in the Palisades is through the freaking roof. But Zach's busted.
It'd be funny if he was covered in blood. My mother said you tried to run away. You're crazy.
Oh, man. I forgot to mention, but Lisa volunteering fits nicely with the gang at the beach club. They have real jobs, but as we have established, Lisa is extraordinarily wealthy. Her parents decided she will just give back. That's nice. That's a nice message. I don't think you see that nearly enough.
Mm-hmm. This is that sensitive mind. Here we go. I guess I'm afraid to have that operation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Lisa gets it. She'll sit right next to your about to be surgeried knee and talk to you about it.
Oh, yeah, that's what you want. You want to rock it as much as possible.
Nope.
Yeah, there's...
Just keep doing it. Everyone sit on my knee.
Yeah, why not? Come on down. I'm like Santa Claus. We learned that at 9 years old, there was an ice skating injury that resulted in a trip to the emergency room and something called trauma bonding, if you're listening at home. It's when something horrific happens to you and it locks you into another human being, maybe for life.
Trauma bonding.
That's a good lesson to teach kids.
That should be the title of the episode.
Yeah, trauma bonding. Zach and Jesse had some bonding in their youth over sneaking out to see E.T., but nothing quite that was another episode. Nothing quite this level, though. So it's now Zach and Lisa are friends.
I guess we were 9 years old. We were ice skating for the first time. We were pretending to be Olympic skaters. I fell down. I grabbed onto Lisa. The part that kind of made me go, wait, what? And it's the part where the audience feels uncomfortable as well. And you can kind of hear them audibly not sure how to react. Is where I say, and I ripped off your skirt as I fell down. Yeah. That's a part of the story that... Did that need to be in the exposition?
Was it skirt or shirt?
Skirt.
It's the downstairs half. Yeah, I noticed
that
too.
Pretty intense.
I wondered.
It was an awkward point for me as the viewer, and I would imagine for the audience as well. Look, I grabbed on to break my fall. You ripped off my skirt, and I bumped my butt on the ice.
Here's a quick
9 year old. We're talking about 9 year olds here, guys.
Lunch is getting cold outside of the writer's room. Here's a 5 seconds. Lisa says, thank God I was wearing my shorts that day. Okay, cool. All right, we're going to break for lunch. Good. We established that she was wearing shorts under the skirt. Doesn't happen. We are just to assume that a naked 9-year-old fell on her ass, and then everyone's like, can we take him to the hospital? Take him anywhere else but here. This is not a place for families.
Yeah. Also, you've been in the hospital for a day and a half. We've put a sign up on the wall.
Right.
Tells you to get well soon.
Get well eventually.
And we have balloons.
I think that sign
and we
was,
got you balloons.
Yeah, I think that sign was up before. I did notice it in previous scenes. I'm not sure if it came in with the balloons.
So maybe it's part of the hospital decor?
It might be.
Yeah, they don't have charts, but they got plenty of signs. What do you want, charts or signs?
Balloons.
We can make a whole backstory of who was in that bed before me. I don't think they made it, though.
Yeah, they didn't make it. You inherited their shit. Oh my God.
That's their balloons. That's everything.
I actually like this sweet moment between Lisa and I, and I've always said this on the show. I just really wish we could have seen Zach and Lisa as a couple, because I really feel like there's a connection here. There was one in real life, And I, you know, I really would have liked to have seen it on the show. I think that they genuinely had a good relationship, unlike Zach and Kelly.
Lisa, that was different. We were together.
Yeah. So,
and this is the moment where you said that Zach falls asleep very quickly because he's like, you know, OD'd on Narcos or whatever they're called.
Well, she said the medicine's taking effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is not anesthesia. I was confused by this watching. Like, you would almost think, because they're talking of pre-surgery, like this is the thing that puts him under, but it's not. Yeah. They're just drugging him up to go to sleep, I guess, at this hospital, which is like.
So is he just on morphine?
Like, how bad is this fucking knee?
By the way, guys,
Zach's chasing the dragon.
Raise your hand in this room.
He's addicted to drugs.
How many
now.
Times have you been under anesthesia? Like, raise your hand here if you remember.
Just once that I my appendix was it.
It's the best feeling ever when you start when they start giving you that cocktail in the hospital, getting ready for your surgery. Oh my Lord. I can see how you'd want to have that like at your personal disposal. Like, you know, going to sleep like Michael Jackson, right? He passed away from this. Right. I can understand that. Like, it is a magical way to go to sleep. It just like all of a sudden you feel it.
Well,
just
if you're listening at home and you're,
hey,
if you're listening at home,
points,
you know what? piercing your ears, it's a dice roll. Maybe don't fentanyl or anything else is probably you should not do that. And
no, of
but
course,
it is, I mean, it is like magic.
My Lord,
it's like going
through your veins, you can feel it. It goes, you know, wherever you're usually in your wrist or whatever, your top of your hand, but you can feel it. They're like, okay, we're going to start pumping this cocktail in you. And you feel it going through your body. You're like, and they start saying count backwards or whatever.
Yeah.
It is awesome. Awesome
the
stuff.
Views and opinions of Mark Paul Gosselaar are solely Mark Paul Gosselaar.
They're not mine at all.
They represent
Dashiell
or Brecken Meyer's feelings.
Listen, don't call your pettifoggers because you know, it's not going to go anywhere.
Get me Uncle Shyster.
I tip very well, and I don't think Universal owes me anything. like here, there's like a quick line here about how Lisa's like, this is a Seinfeld bit, but it's like how like her mom is the best doctor. And Seinfeld has a very funny bit, which I won't do, but like no one ever is like, you never hear about a doctor being anything other than the best. And I don't have the confidence here in Lisa's mom, who, to Brecken's point, has never held a chart that she's the best. Yeah. And here we get another religious moment where Lisa talks directly to God. Saved by the Bell was a show run by Peter Engel, and Mark Paul has told us, is a religious guy who like, no cursing on set, that kind of stuff, very above the board family thing. But I didn't realize until this podcast how much like talking to God, the man upstairs, these children do. It's jarring to me, who is a heathen. And yeah, Lisa has a one-on-one with the guy upstairs, or lady upstairs, or thing, whatever. And we're in the hospital hallway for Scott Gale doing some pre-surgery music. We don't have it here, but boy, oh boy, it's good. Just really working at what the emotions might be before you go into the knife.
Again,
Lisa's mom here has
two
masks.
Where are my parents?
I think one's a hat. I was just thinking.
Oh, one's a hat. I'm so used to seeing masks, and it's like crazy in my brain right now. But yes, that is a hat. But she's not going to put it on because her hair is too darn good right now.
You can't do that right now. That'd be crazy.
And Lisa's mom says to Lisa, "You're showing up here at 6 a.m., which seems about right. When I had my surgery for one of my shoulders, it was like I had to be there at 5:30 a.m. and, you know, get prepped and all that stuff. Yeah. But where are my parents?
Like, they're not there.
They're here. You'll see them after surgery.
They're here, but we didn't pay them for this week.
We can't let them up.
Do you see the place we built? We're not hiring them for the day to say good luck.
We're taking you in you're not fitting in that elevator.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. That elevator is too small.
That's right.
Yeah, it's not deep enough or wide enough for this giant
bed. Also, that's the elevator like everyone uses. That's not the surgery elevator.
Right.
Like Screech was just in there.
Don't you see that sign on the wall, Brecken, that says surgery with an arrow? Of course that has to be.
To the arrow, to the elevator. Elevator. We do it there.
That's so funny. Imagine getting in the elevator to like bring your loved one some flowers and there's just a person in a bed ready to get chopped up.
Terrified going to surgery.
Oh, man. And yeah, here we go. This is, again, the second episode in a row as it aired where someone winds up with a cast on their feet or leg.
You know for a fact that he has pajama leg under that cast.
100%.
Oh, absolutely.
They made the cast around
the pajamas. They didn't cut those pajamas.
Oh, no, the flannel stay on.
Half of my ball would be hanging out the other leg if they cut it that close.
It's a family show, as is established.
Weird.
Kelly, your balls hang to your thigh.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's all
you
kinds of
medical conditions
out there.
You
plastered my balls. Not all of us are Ken dolls, Brecken. Kelly drew a picture of a dollhouse and kittens because apparently she is 7 years old and just inhabiting the body of a teen lady. Embelding here is going to get off the hook thanks to Screech's storyline is resolved by Slater just picking him up. That's it.
The nerds to help. Please get better soon. We miss you. You guys have such a weird relationship.
It's very odd. He oversteps his boundaries. If you could say Belding has any at all, but like Belding as the principal mm-hmm. could just like get the test thrown out, or like he has to take it again to do better. Whatever. We could be here all day on that. And Zach's going to continue harassing the nurses with his little basketball.
By the way, again, you're bouncing a ball next to my just surgeried leg.
Yeah. You break it, you bought it.
Stop. Yeah. Everyone stop being near my leg.
I love Jesse's outfit for the hospital. Jesse's had some great outfits this episode. So is Kelly,
honestly.
This is
a good outfit for Jesse, yeah.
They've like had, man, I mean, Screech to a different extent. Honestly, everyone in the room right now is crushing it now that I'm...
Again, all they do is bounce that ball near your... Watch, right here. He takes the ball, puts it right by your leg.
Yeah. He almost does a fake out. Like Slater tosses it a little in front of him, in front of the leg.
Nobody cares about Zach's leg.
No.
We really don't.
I love Jessie's outfit. I'm going to say Jessie, of all these strong picks, her little bolo tie and the little jacket.
Her bolo tie
is
pretty good.
Where's she going? What's she doing that day?
I got to tell you, for your listeners, Google or go to YouTube and look up Where's Rodney, which is a pilot I did with Rodney Dangerfield when I was about 15. I'm wearing the exact same outfit as Jessie.
I'm not a little kidding. Bolo tie and a little jacket? I wonder
I'm
if Elizabeth Bass
did a bolo tie.
Was it for NBC?
And our hair is similar. It was for NBC.
Then I wonder if Elizabeth Bass did your costumes. Maybe you had the same person working these. Yeah.
So say it again, Brecken. We're going to Google what? Where's Rodney?
Where's Rodney? On YouTube, they have the opening credits of the show, and it's where I'm wearing that outfit. So
eBay, too. You
enjoy.
You might find an worn bolo tie for dozens of dollars.
By Jesse and Brecken.
Yeah, there's like pictures of both episodes. And the blow to the episode, of course, more hospital bed stuff. But Screech says Gilligan's Island is on. Guys, that's a show that ended its run almost a quarter of a century before Screech says those words. That's the amount of time. It's a joke that it's reruns, but I just thought that math was funny. And that's the episode. That's the whole darn thing.
I love
thing.
That they did the remote gag as the button.
Yeah, why not? Brecken, sure. Thank you so much for coming back. I remembered as
my
we were doing
friends.
It. The last one was Fatal Distraction. That's what you joined us for. Of course, who could forget us?
There we go.
But thank you for coming back. It was great to have you, and we'd
you
love to have you
welcome.
Any other time.
Thank
Always
you, my
pleasure,
friends.
Buddy.
I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah.
Yes, buddy.
There is homework for next week. It's called the 4th of July. And thank you, Brecken. Thank you, Mark Paul. Thank you, the listeners. We'll see you next week. Zach to the Future is a production of Cadence 13. It's executive produced by Mark Paul Gosler, myself, and Chris Corcoran. Production and direction led by Terrence Malangone. Editing and mastering by Andy Jaskowitz. Engineering and production coordination by Sean Cherry. Artwork by Kurt Courtney with illustrations by Jeff McCarthy. Marketing is led by Josephina Francis with PR by Hillary Shuf. Thanks to the whole team at Cadence 13 and to you for listening.